Sometimes when things start occurring, consequences begin to add up. Things you didn't see coming, situations you couldn't have dreamt up 2 months ago are suddenly a reality for a lot of Wisconsin farms and agribusinesses. David Crass is with Michael Best Law Firm and a gentleman that many of us in Wisconsin agriculture have come to know because he is a champion of agriculture. Dave, I got to just ask you what kinds of conversations you and your team have been having. You mentioned to me that you've got, literally groups of professionals that are trying to answer questions from a lot of different areas of agribusiness, food production, and farming. What kinds of things are popping up that we never saw coming?
Boy, Pam, you couldn't be more spot on with that introductory comment. Things we couldn't have imagined in terms of supply chain disruption 2 months ago, are in front of us. A lot of not only dairy producers, but also dairy processors and other food processors are dealing with workforce disruptions, workforce concerns. So everything, reaching back to the original safer at home type orders. And of course, agriculture doesn't respect jurisdictional lines. So it's a domestic and global business. And so everything from complying with these local, safer at home orders that in Texas, for example, it's down to the counties. It's up to the counties to decide rather than the state, such as we're seeing here in Wisconsin. And all kinds of disruptions that have rippled from that. Obviously, the supply chain disruptions are what's on the front of everyone's minds right now. The slaughterhouse shutdowns and the consequences that's having, Smithfield, South Dakota situation just announced this week. And then, of course, the milk supply chain with significant institutional consumers not there, the restaurant industry totally shut down, the institutional market totally shut down. We now have supply chain disruptions that that are hitting the farm gate.
Yeah, and hitting it hard, too. And because of that, we're being forced to do things that most farmers absolutely object to, but we have no other way right now, and that's dumping milk. Although it's not a good situation, it's not what we want to do. Unfortunately, we also have to be very careful how we're doing it, or we're going to suffer consequences there, too.
No question, Pam. I do want to commend our state of Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection and our state DNR for their very rapid response to date on this issue. They very quickly, by the end of March, very quickly got guidance out to farmers and processors as we heard that this was a threat. I think when it was first announced, many people didn't think it would happen because the processing industry has for so many years been so good at milk pooling and moving milk to various markets but it's here and we've seen guidance from New York, Michigan, national guidance on this, and our state and our state regulatory agencies were extremely prompt in getting guidance out to farmers, getting guidance out to processors in terms of their recommendations on how to most safely handle the situation. We cannot have any direct discharges of milk to either surface waters, groundwater, or wetlands. So it's up to our industry to conduct risk management and manage that waste stream as safely as possible. Manure pits, of course, the concern there is the spring of the year arises here is overtopping, so we have to be very careful about that. Land application, consider the risk factors such as setbacks from surface waters, setbacks from wetlands, sandy soils to protect groundwater, being mindful of that, using injection and incorporation where possible to minimize the risk of milk running off on land application site. And I should say, just to carry on the point about how DNR and DECAP have responded, they've made efforts for the regulated community, those farms that are CAFOs and processors that are considering, or their waste streams are considered industrial waste, to expedite both approvals of additional fields to nutrient management plans, as well as expediting the approval of additional land spreading fields that processors may need. So everyone is teaming together. And DACCAP has been out front, holding Wednesday calls with various facets of the agriculture industry across the state to identify concerns and try to brainstorm solutions. And, you know, the silver lining out of some of this terrible stuff is how the state is really coming together and people are coming together to try to find solutions in difficult times.
Yeah, and quickly at that, if you're just joining us, this is David Krass. He's a partner with the Michael Best Law Firm in Madison, and a gentleman that works a lot on behalf of agriculture, agribusiness. Dave, let's talk a little bit about another option that suddenly got discussion on this milk disposal situation, and that's trying to incorporate it in to some of the anaerobic digesters we've got across the state. Some are now on farm, others in different locations. At first blush, that may seem like a very well-controlled opportunity, but boy, you can make that whole system collapse pretty quickly if you're not careful about things.
Yeah, we wanted to advise farmers that have digesters on site, or the food processing industry has a lot of anaerobic digestion. As you know, Pam, Wisconsin leads the nation in the number of anaerobic digesters that are operational. And so milk disposal in a digester is an option. We don't want to send the message that it's not an option, but you have to think about it and you have to be careful in how you approach it. If you're a farmer and you've got an on-site digester, you have to involve the engineering experts and the technical experts that developed the digester or built it or are helping you, operate and maintain it, because it's a microbial community that can be disrupted, and essentially we don't want to kill off the digester and essentially cut off our nose to spite our face. And on that point, we also want to consider how the various environmental credits or environmental attributes that return value to the farm and the digester community are being treated currently, be it their treatment under the renewable fuel standard for the generation of gas, the treatment by the California Air Resources Board, and the treatment as a renewable natural gas for those farmers that are taking advantage of the low carbon fuel standard out of California. We want to be very mindful of potential impacts to those pathways and the value of those RINs, those environmental attributes that are being returned to the farmer, again, so that we don't, in an effort to deal with milk disposal, we don't disrupt a revenue stream that would, that is needed now more than ever for dairy farmers. The other thing is that if your digester is just producing electrons and you're selling electricity under a power purchase agreement, you're probably going to be fine, but the technical concern that I mentioned first is still there in terms of the microbial environment, the gut, if you will, of the digester. Mm-hmm. And you probably want to check your power purchase agreement just to make sure and potentially contact your utility that you're not disrupting anything, because we don't want to dispose of milk today in a digester and then find out 3 months later that we've created an economic headache. So eyes wide open.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Dave, you bring up something else. I don't want to throw you for a loop, but I'm curious. Have people reached out to you about some of the contracts that they may have been engaged in? I guess COVID-19 is considered, what would they call it, an act of God or some unforeseen right. supernatural kind of thing, where a lot of contracts that farmers might have thought were rock solid, suddenly that fine print and things like that are, I'm guessing, surprising some.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I was talking with you earlier about how we formed teams here at the law firm so that we can be ready to respond to client needs in this situation. We've got a team of people that are, ankle deep in the CARES Act and the various stimulus relief packages. We know that phase four of relief is being talked about right now in D.C. We've got people that are participating in that process on behalf of various industry sectors as they look to infrastructure. And then we've got a team of lawyers that specialize in contract disputes, if you will, and you know are ready to advise on what the law surrounding force measure is and how COVID-19 can be relied upon. It is important, Pam, as you mentioned, that you know there is no blanket rule here. You have to look at the language of these supply contracts. You have to look at the language of forward contracts, et cetera, to see what that language specifies. And additionally, there's going to be a lot of disputes about people potentially utilizing the COVID-19 for a commercial purpose, right, with respect to a contract. And you would need to actually point to causation. And by that, I mean, you know, you have to be in position to show that the pandemic has impacted you, be it workforce, be it materials, et cetera, your ability to perform under that contract. So it's a very important area where we're going to see, you know, disputes as this rolls forward.
Boy, it sounds to me like you're going to be one busy fella and the rest of your team as well.
Well, we're here for our clients, so we're here to be ready to give them the best service that they expect, and we'll be ready to help.
You know, Dave, I just got to ask you on kind of a personal side. You've been so connected with so many of our farming operations across the state through thick and thin. When you're having conversations with some of your folks, even if it's just a conversation, nothing business related, are you noticing a change in the tone of their voice, or are they still sounding resilient to all this insanity?
Well, you know the farm community, Pam, better than anybody, and you know how optimistic and resilient and hardworking they are, and they keep going, right? I think it was Winston Churchill that said, when you're going through hell, keep going. And so these are special people. But I will say there is a lot of stress in the communities out there, you know, people that I'm talking with, as you mentioned, just clients, you know, touching base. There's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. I want to remind everyone about the Wisconsin Farm Center at DACCAP, staffed 24 hours a day, 1-800 number with professionals there to help, financial counseling. There are also, I don't know all the details, but there are also certificates for mental health services that are offered through the Wisconsin Farm Center. It's a great resource and one that farmers should not be embarrassed in these times to turn to, because we all need to lean on each other and get through this together.
That's right. And the farmer is not the only one that can call anybody. That number again, 800-942-2474 for the Farm Center hotline, 800-942-2474. David Kras along with us, one of the industry bests when it comes to helping farm families, agribusinesses, and our food partners through this challenging COVID-19 situation. He's a partner with Michael Best Law Firm in Madison. I'm Pam Yonke.